Nish, what were you saying about that dog dick earlier?
What was I saying about it? I was saying it's absolutely reprehensible. Olga sent us a clearly photoshopped picture of a dog with an enormous human penis.
I am officially forwarding everyone the video so you know
as
it's
part
real.
Of the group. Oh, by all means, Olga. By all means, mitigate our disgust by sending a video.
Mm. Okay, everybody.
Because it's not as though you could just, you know, edit the video so a
How
dog has a human
How much free time do you think I have?
You've got that commute now.
Olga's a computer scientist. She could be doing CGI on dog dick videos.
Why I did my degree.
Yeah.
I can barely turn on my computer and microphone, as we've been discovering.
That dog was actually played by Andy Serkis.
They
had a crotchless 3D mocap suit. So that's Andy Serkis's dick.
Okay.
It's
that's
like
actually
an
visible.
Extra leg.
God, that's disgusting.
He's struggling.
Yeah, for the benefit of the recording, this is some kind of like miniature dachshund that has a dick as big as its legs.
Uh-huh.
And also, I mean, as with all dogs' penises, it is an alarming color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no one's ever seen a dog penis and thought anything other than, that's not supposed to be there.
Unless you're another dog, in which case you're like, give me a piece of that.
Yeah. Give me a piece of that human penis, please.
Yeah, that's right.
That dog's packing heat.
Oh, yes.
Who's a hung boy? Who's a hung boy?
Your dog's got such a lovely penis. new guy. A guy who doesn't know how to compliment people's dogs. Damn, your dog looks like she's got a tight pussy.
Horrible. Awful. That's despicable.
Congratulations, Milo. You've made Olga look like a paradigm of virtue.
Yes. Absolutely. Well,
you've made a, and I cannot stress this enough, dog pornographer look like a bastion of morality.
Well, I mean,
dogs need porn too.
Of course. I mean,
you always do say that.
You're saying it all the time. When there's a lot of
smoking a cigar, sat in my dog pornography studio, being like, someone's got to do it.
You on Dragon's Den? Yeah.
No, do you think if there wasn't me, there wouldn't be someone else making this dog pornography?
Look, it's important for dog breeders to make sure that like the dogs are always excited and ready. That's actually interestingly.
Well, the dog was fluffer.
It was the freeholder of Soho is a dog pornographer.
What? Please expand on what
you
just
said. No, it's like the freeholder of Soho, was a family who was like a poor. I don't think they were a dog pornographer.
No.
I really hope that this doesn't.
They were into a variety of species.
Human mainly.
Yeah.
Good old human porn.
Yeah.
My favorite genre.
It's a bit derivative, but mass market.
Yeah, exactly.
But.
Time for to go for human yet again. It's that the freehold of Soho was bought up by like one of the sort of porn kings that Guy Ritchie would sort of base like his villains on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then his daughter's
step king,
I think, the step king of Soho.
Yeah,
and then I think his kids.
Oh no, I'm stuck in the throne.
His kids then went to like
my equerry has found me wedged into this
a disadvantageous marriage for the bloodline. what was it? Paul Raymond, I think, was the guy, and then he like. Owned all of the the freeholder of Soho, and then his grandkids are now like on the Young Sunday Times rich list because now they own the freehold of all of Soho.
I see. The Young Sunday Times rich list.
I think Paul Raymond is the subject of that Steve Coogan film, right?
Ooh, greed.
The Look of Love. I think The Look of Love is about greed is definitely not what's his name? The Top Shop man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Philip Green.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Philip Green, a really nice guy who everyone likes.
For legal purposes and legal purposes alone, Philip Green is not Steve Coogan, the inspiration for the Steve Coogan character in Green.
Well, that's cut and dried.
Philip Green is not Steve Coogan.
I loved the film Green. It was such a great... I mean, Greed!
Look, my lord, He said not for legal purposes. What more do you want? I did the little asterisk with my hand. That means it doesn't count.
Yeah, apologies. Allegedly, Olga is a dog pornographer. Allegedly. You got no legal recourse against me, Olga.
What she does have is right of reply.
Yeah.
Because we're an upstanding publication, we have given Olga the right to reply to these scurrilous
allegations
she
that you
is
are
a dog pornographer.
And I've said it once, I'll say it again. If I wasn't doing it, someone else would.
My question with the dog penis video is that the dog clearly has an erection. Like, its penis is not like that all the time. And there's no other dogs there. There's nothing for it to really have an erection about. So my question is, have they fluffed the dog for the purpose of the home video? I mean, I'll go on, Tony. Get your stick hard.
Well, I'm considered hot in many species.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, it's all over the place.
You should see me with an orca.
I was looking into this.
It's dangerous at SeaWorld. They're like butting their heads against the glass to get to Olga.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a human 6 and orca 11.
All of the orcas are sort of like have balding ponytails and are from the home counties. Very sort of FBPE types. Who are like, dad of two, loves gin and sarcasm.
You know when you're sucking a guy's dick and he goes, ooh. Yeah.
But you know, that. So I, as I often do, I did some cursory Googling. And I gave the porn king of
that's
Soho.
That's what you get on this show.
Yeah, you get it.
Cursory Googling.
That's what you get. That's the Balthazar Speedboat promise, is I will do a cursory Google of something we talk about.
Yeah.
Gordon's Gin. Launched a gin honoring Paul Raymond.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say the dog with the big penis.
Yeah. Like, here, well, it was in 2013, so it's like in anticipation of a future dog with a giant human penis. We here at Gordon's have decided to create a Rasputin vodka gin.
To be fair, that sounds more like a brew dog IPA. Dog penis. Like dog 5.7%.
Oh, God. Dog's dick definitely sounds like that.
Oh no.
Clip
Punk
the big
IPA.
Red dog penis.
Suck down on some dog's dick.
I mean, Clipper
We're
the big...
punks. Like punks.
Yeah, and it'll be like 5% of the profits go to the RSPCA.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. I can see it in my mind's eye.
Dog dick health
so clearly.
Is something we're passionate here at Brewdog.
Yeah. 5% of our profits go to the Dog Fluffers charity to make sure we keep making funny videos.
The Dog Fluffers charity is for like destitute dog fluffers in retirement. Well, the trouble is, it's a young man's game, wanking off dogs. You get to a certain age, and there's no retirement. Everyone's self-employed, you know.
Yeah, there's no pension in that.
Yeah, it's all fast cars and girls, you know, when you're at the top of the game in dog fluffing, but you can be left with nothing.
Yeah, oh, that's no, right.
Oh no, Ken Loach is going to make a film about dog fluffers in the gig economy. Oh no.
Oh, I don't want to. Prepare to have your heart broken and your soul sort of sort of disassembled as your heart breaks.
Me, I once fluffed Lassie.
And now look at me.
Just like lying under a bridge. Shut up, you old drunk.
Why? Mm. What episode of Lassie required Lassie to have an erection?
Also, isn't Lassie a girl? Isn't Lassie a female dog?
I got Lassie nice and wet.
Olga, I hate to tell you this. Some wag with a video camera has just got you to wank off their dog. Okay? You've been swindled here.
Not again!
Yeah, but you know, my question
is just fully choked. Yeah.
What part of London's real estate market are they going to dominate off the back of that, though? Like, what part is left? Like Finsbury Park? Oh yes. Also, I wanted to point out to everyone, I'm wearing a handsome Huel T-shirt now.
Ooh,
yes. Oh, very nice.
I've decided to make my meals much smarter. And I've decided to become that kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Riley's a Soylent guy now.
Yeah, it's good. I've decided I wanted to optimize dinner.
Mm. Can you tell me what is the chronology of Soylent and Huel?
So Soylent, here's the I know Of the things I know about Soylent, here's one of them. Here's one of a selection of things I know about Soylent.
Okay.
Which is that because obviously, like, the first thing you think of when you see it is that it's named after the Soylent Green, which was people in the movie Soylent Green. Of course. Now,
Soylent?
Oh, well, you're talking about the actual product, Soylent. Yeah. Like the,
the actual product. Well, but they claim that they named the actual product after soy and lentils, which were its primary ingredients, and they didn't realize that there was a relationship with the name of the movie where the sort of suspicious food ends up being people.
Yeah,
Hold on a second. They didn't know that they were calling their food company the same thing that's made of people meat.
I mean,
it's a cursory Google. We do them here all the time.
That's the problem. No, it's like there was a cryptocurrency called Nonce Finance.
Yeah, I know. Nonce Finance all over again.
When I opened Pol Pot holiday camps, it was purely a reference to the polenta hot pot meals that are served every night. I had no idea.
Why would you have a polenta hot? That doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, and the reason why we don't let in anyone wearing glasses is because it's a health and safety thing. We need people to have 20/20 vision.
Yeah, it's no nerds allowed. It's my jock's only holiday camp. We serve polenta.
Getting jacked and eating polenta.
Yeah, everyone's eating known superfood polenta.
That's right.
Which I think you make in sort of like a warm porridge.
There's nothing I like better than washing my day down with a sweet, crisp pint of delicious Stasi.
Well, there's that delicious Belgian strong beer, Stasi Hendrik. That's one for the beer heads. I've decided I've been drinking a lot of proteins, and I've found a more
take that one again.
What?
Well, nah. I've got this new job that requires me to work a lot with animals, and I end up drinking.
Oh my god!
No, you can't make the dogs come. That's counterproductive. They need to stay hard.
You've got to edge the dog for the last time, Riley.
You'll never make it in this game.
Dog fluffing coach Olga. Cock by name.
Dog by nature.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I don't like this new Olga character of a wizened dog fluffer dispensing advice to younger dog fluffers.
In 1996, she blew her shot, so to speak, but now is back to help a young, hopeful squad of dog fluffers in the international championship.
I swore I'd never fluff a dog again.
The Ted Lasso of dog fluffers.
No, after I made Lassie blast all over Crofts.
How horrible. Come on.
Look, Riley, you and I have worked together for years.
Yeah, years.
You know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, I know.
And to think all of this began when Olga sent a simple text to the group chat about this podcast saying, who would like to see a picture of a dog with an enormous penis? Who knew?
It
would start a chain of events.
No, well, it was like, you know how sometimes like, political podcast, there'll be some political development will happen. It'll be emergency podcast. Olga found a dog with a human penis, and we assembled this crew for the emergency podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, we have to talk about this right now, or someone else is going to beat us to it.
Blowing into a big hollowed out dildo to summon the podcast crew.
So where did you find, I want to talk more about my new protein stack, but I want to know, where did you find this dog? Did you film the dog?
I was recently at a party, not to brag. And I think like a lot of people, I don't know, I don't want to date this podcast, so I'll say very quickly and then I'll just move on. But like, we don't know how to talk to people anymore, right? Because like small talk is a struggle.
Yeah.
And then this guy who I just met just segued seamlessly into this dog with a big dick. And then he showed all this content to me. I was like, this is the best time I've ever had at a party. Mm-hmm. And then, though I didn't know him well enough, I did have to give him my number just so he could send me the dog content.
So this guy thinks he's in there.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Olga, because I should make clear that you sent this. There was not the group chat prior to this was exclusively admin.
Yeah.
It was purely what time are we assembling? And then you said, who wants to see a dog with a massive dick?
Well, it was.
Yeah.
It was the night before.
Yeah, right. What was the lead up in your conversation? to this man saying, do you want to see a dog with a massive dick?
Okay, so he sent me the content because I was like, all my friends are going to love it. And then genuinely the following morning, I was just going through every group chat I had being like, who's going to get a lot of this?
The family group chat as well.
Yeah. And you guys just seem like a group of people who would enjoy and value the content that I had to give.
Boy, very, hey, penis, it's me, your cousin Marvin. Marvin Penis. You know that new dog dick you've been looking for? Get a load of this.
Like Edinburgh Flatshare 2016 group chat, be like, long time no speak.
Yeah. Write funny comedy in Greenwich. Check this out. You just go up to a mic and just be like go to an open mic and just show the video. My set is this video. Check that out.
That would be a relief based on some open mic comedy sets I've seen.
I actually think it's high time.
The dog is opening for me in September.
Olga's got a new tour show on. He's bringing the dog. He's going to get chomping in the cigar. Get me the dog with the big dick.
See, hear ye, see the bawdy woman and the hung dog.
Oh, yay, oh,
come
yay, oh, yay.
Come to the circus.
I turn up to see Olga off the strength of her very good comedy album that I own. And the dog walks out with a huge penis and I think... This is change of direction. This is definitely a change of direction.
The Eastern wench with the roused hound.
Side note, Nish, thank you so much for buying the album. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Yeah, I'm a huge supporter of comedy on vinyl.
I feel like you should have been a sort of early 20th or like a pre-World War I vaudeville announcer. That would have been a great job for you.
That would have been a great job for me.
I think I'm not the only one that was very excited to hear that how that sentence was going to end. Given the context that it emerged from, I think all of us, when you start saying, I think you would have been a very good... Okay, where's this going, right?
Edwardian dog flapper.
You could have been the subject of a bet at White's Gentleman's Club. It would have been a lot of fun. Why, Bertie, I don't think he's going to make that bastard hound blast within 2 minutes. 500 guineas says you're wrong. I mean, the subject...
Here, Crispin's been going around Whitechapel rousing dogs after midnight. The constabulary have been looking for him for weeks.
What do you think 100 Dalmatians is about?
Wait, where's the other one coming from?
It's a gangbang.
You've missed the one. It's 101 Dalmatians.
Oh,
you're missing
it?
A Dalmatian.
Oh.
Yeah. Where's that other Dalmatian?
Budget cuts.
Yeah.
It is 101, isn't it?
We've had to sack the
Dalmatian. Yeah, it's 101.
And we've had to right-size
inflation,
our workforce.
Maybe.
Yeah, we've had to right-size our work. Well, it's shrinkflation. It's how, like, stuff stays the same price, but, like, gets... Like, a coffee crisp has gotten way smaller in the last, like, several years.
What's a coffee crisp?
Do you not have that? It's a chocolate bar. Coffee crisp. Makes a nice light snack.
There's a chocolate bar called Toffee Crisp, but not coffee.
Hang on.
Familiar?
I'm still... I feel like I've dropped into an alternate reality where people are eating coffee crisps and watching the film 100 Dalmatians. I don't know what's happened.
Everything is just slightly off.
And it's me, Olga Penis.
It's actually
some
a Russian
don't
name,
change.
Yeah. So I'm now looking at this. Apparently, I'm having kind of like a moment at the end of The Usual Suspects where a lot of things are slotting into place for me.
Okay.
Coffee, I've been craving a coffee crisp for about a month now.
Mm.
And I've been trying to find
it's
it
very specific.
At different off licenses.
Are they Canadian?
It's Canadian. Oh. I never knew it was Canadian.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, look.
Does the packaging look like the packaging for Toffee Crisp?
No. It looks more like a blue ribbon wafer, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hang on, I'm going to send you.
I'm doing cultural translation here from Canadian snack into British snack.
So coffee crisp. Pairs so nicely maybe with a Canadian Merlot. Yeah.
So we're here again.
So yeah. Sorry, but is it? Does it have coffee
here,
in
you
it?
You might pair it with something like a yuzu.
would Sir care to sample the Lucozade? This is a 2021. I believe it was bottled in Braintree.
giving opening a Panda Pop and pouring a tiny bit into a glass and being like, "Would Sir care to try?" And he's just
it's
like,
"It's not aerated
it.
Yet."
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah.
Yes. No. Not even. Just
I'll have the bottle.
Yes.
Is it? Does it have coffee in it, or do you have it with coffee?
Well, it's like wafers with like a mocha flavor. It's really good. I really would like. I mean, there are. I think so. I'd have to go to the Canadian. Number one, I have to go to the Canadian store to get this.
There's a Canadian store.
Yeah, there's a Canadian store. Also, listen. If I know anything about my community, it's that one of our number can source you a snack. I don't know if you've been in a South Asian run corner shop at any point in the last 10 years, but you can get literally anything in there. Like, I mean, if you want like lead piping and some like, you know, and for some inexplicable reason, a poster of the Pamela Anderson film Barbed Wire. There's absolutely no reason why a South Asian corner shop would not be able to source all of that. So the idea of a Canadian snack, if you want a can of soda that specifically says multi-pack do not sell separately and an original pressing of Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction, you can get all of these things. These are all things available to you in a South Asian corner shop.
Don't sell it separately, eh, bud?
I quite like the idea of trying to source myself some lead piping so I can make my house unwoke.
Yeah, that's right. I want to get that disease that the Romans all got.
Yeah. Remember when pipes were jar? Yeah. except they were much softer, in fact, because lead is a malleable metal.
Yeah, that's right. Fucking Visigoths aren't going to come in my ass.
The social justice left is trying to cancel good, honest Victorian diseases like cholera.
The lead pipes thing is actually a great example of progress actually killing a bunch of people, because they always had lead pipes in Rome and it was always fine. And the problem came when they invented the tap, because before the water was just always running, and so it didn't get like as much lead in it because it wasn't stagnant.
Oh, wow.
But as soon as they invented a means of like stopping and like restarting the flow of water so it would like stagnate in the pipes, that was when they all started getting lead poison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like No Nut November.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The Romans held it, but then they held it too long.
No Water November in Rome.
Yeah, that's right. Well, at that point, it was in Ravenna, basically.
I cannot wait for Olga to start the anti-No Nut November campaign. The thing is, guys, you run the risk of serious jizz poisoning. If your jizz is not...
It enters the bloodstream.
Hang on.
What a lot of people don't know is that the balls are full of lead.
We could market... Are you saying you want to market, like, Nut November?
You nut all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's like Movember, except you get one really big bicep.
And I have to stress that Olga is only qualified to fluff dog.
No,
if you
no,
need
she,
assistance
no,
during Nut November,
she's
you need
not
to go
involved
elsewhere.
In any of the process. She's just the face of the campaign.
Nut November.
Yeah. You look at Olga's face and participate
I hate to say
in
it,
Nut
but
November.
The cum is under the bloodstream.
I'm afraid. I'm sorry. It's cum disease. We're going to have to operate.
Yeah, your blood's... Sir, you've lost a lot of cum. We're going to do what we can. We're going to have all these men busting you.
Yes. Horrible. Just horrible. You've put me off my coffee, Chris.
Like, isn't there another way of getting the cum into the body? No, I'm
Anytime
afraid not.
Anytime this podcast even risks going a little bit intellectual, I will.
When did it... Oh, yes. Oh, because you mentioned a Roman thing.
Yeah.
It got too smart. I had to dial it back. Yeah.
To be fair, if there's any people in history who risk having too much cum in their bloodstream, it's probably the Romans.
Yeah, well, I mean, also you got to ask yourself which Romans, right?
Your
senatorial families certainly like that. Well, I read recently the whole idea that they like would eat so much that they would then make themselves puke is just someone mistranslating the concept of what a vomitorium is. It's just an exit.
Yeah.
It's as though a future archaeologist would look back at sort of modern British society and be like, oh, they just shat everywhere. Look, exit. It's on all of these stadiums.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a big room in the stadium where you went for a shit.
Oh, great. This is it. This is madness. What a decadent society. And it's like, no, it was, yeah, but not in the way you think.
Yeah. What if all that survives of our society is this podcast? And like, everyone was wanking off dogs.
Yeah, and in the future, of course, everyone does have that sort of mid-century mid-Atlantic newscaster accent. Mm. That's why they were all jacking the dogs, you see. Anyway, look, I'm going to have to leave. Can you three of you finish the podcast? I have to leave to go to Covent Garden to go to the Canadian store, which is across from the Canadian pub, I might add.
The Canadian pub.
What are the hallmarks of a Canadian pub?
Like, what would be the...
What makes a Canadian? Yeah. Maple syrup on tap.
It's owned by Green King.
Is it just Nothing. Called the Canadian yeah. pub, or is it called the, like, you know, the Maple Leaf and Two Mounties?
They frack the beer.
I mean, that would be very, very Canadian. Canada loves fracking.
She's our queen too, eh?
There is again, I think, a unfortunately named pub for Anglophiles in Toronto. Called the Queen and Beaver Public
Come
House.
Come on.
Queen and Beaver.
Come on.
I'm afraid so.
Come on, Canada.
But because Ontario has, like, liquor laws that were written and basically unchanged from when it was, like, a self-flagellating Presbyterian province of, like, ice-chewing Scots.
Right. Okay.
Right. It was Toronto, Canada, like, Ontario was known as, like, the sort of, Ontario had the personality of, like, John Lithgow in Flashdance. Wait, was he in Flashdance?
What is that reference?
No, I Dirty never Dancing, seen sorry.
Flashdance is the welder.
Flashdance is the Footloose. Bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. No, Dirty Dancing. Like, what are the dancing movies?
Yeah. The dancing movies have all merged into one. I asked the personality of John Lithgow in Step Up to the Streets.
I love my favorite scene. The sexiest paycheck's scene is when John Lithgow has that bucket of water dumped on him. Third Rock from the Sun. Ontario has the sort of personality of John Lithgow in the one that he was in, Footloose.
Right.
There it is.
I've not seen Footloose, but yeah, that's the one with Kevin Bacon, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so all of its liquor laws were written in such a way where, like, it was illegal until about a couple decades ago to be standing and holding a drink.
In a pub?
Yeah, in any kind of establishment. If you
it's illegal to stand up and hold a drink.
It's like the reverse of basketball rules. Like, you have to be constantly moving while you're holding the drink.
No, you can't move either.
Oh, no.
You have to be sitting.
Ah.
Wow.
Even when you're in a bar?
Especially when you're in a bar. That's mainly where these rules apply.
Right, okay. So if you're on the street, it's kind of laissez-faire, but...
Well, if it's on the street, if it's in a brown plastic bag, then no one can check you. But, like, it's hot, it's mega illegal to drink in a park.
That's Schrodinger's plastic bag. No one knows what's in there.
Plastic bag, paper bag. Maybe anyway, right. you couldn't, like, stand up with a drink or whatever. But some of these laws are still in place.
But how do you get the drink from the bar to the where you're sitting?
Oh, you have a waiter.
Ah, so the way. Oh, it's okay for the waiter.
What you do is pretend to be a waiter.
Yeah, you gotta do is in order to have the greatest thrill of all in 1970s Ontario, you had to dress up as a waiter and then carry your own drink around a bar on a little tray.
Okay, the greatest thrill in Ontario at that time was definitely to do cocaine with one of the Ford brothers. Come on.
I guess so. Yeah, like, come on. Like you could have gotten, like, really, really fucked up with, like, early 20s Rob Ford. Yeah, that would be great. Just a really sort of, like, he's a classic oaf, right? And you could do some oaf stuff with him, you know.
I absolutely love the idea that people are getting arrested for standing up holding pints of beer, and meanwhile at the table the Ford brothers are just hoovering up mountains of cocaine.
We can only say
that's completely legal, I'm afraid.
They're sitting down.
The waiter has to rack it up. All we can say with confidence is that the dead Ford brother was doing that. We don't know if the live porn one is doing. We know for sure the dead one was.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. That's why he did.
What is he gonna do? Sue us?
yeah.
No. So
it's actually a law in Canada that you can't sue someone while lying down. so
yeah, well, it was to discriminate against the Welsh, of course. brought in. So at the Queen and Beaver Public House, this place that
Jesus Christ, I don't believe this is real. It sounds like something in Wee Britain in the Arrested Development series 3.
I like the idea that this pub name went through a number of drafts, one of which was the Queen's Beaver Public House, and they were like, no, too much.
Well, I don't think they would have guessed it, right? Also, that's like, number one, the Queen and Beaver Public House is also like in a kind of just in sort of a big mall. It's in the same mall that there's a university also in that mall.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Us girls are going to go try on makeup if you boys want to go and get a business degree.
So the Ryerson University in Ontario.
Mom, can we go to the university? All right, but just for 30 minutes.
Yeah, everyone loved that.
Mommy's getting a pedicure.
Everyone loves that Kevin Smith movie, University Rats.
Yeah, that's right. Paul Blart University Cop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a Cop. Shame. Yeah. That would have been a lovely entry to that franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go there, like, all these students are standing up drinking pint.
No, yeah, so even the Queen and Beaver, even the Queen's Beaver Public House, they still is all table service because there's no such thing as a bar that doesn't have table service. Nightclubs, you can order bars from, you can order drinks from the bar, but nightclubs are technically restaurants.
What?
What? Yeah, it's
welcome to Canada, where everything's a bit upside down, eh?
You want to watch this new movie, Cruella, based on the 100 Dalmatians universe? Yeah. Copyright?
Hey, I'm a mechanic, but legally I'm a veterinarian.
All cars are classified as donkeys here.
Pulling on a white coat as he looks at your car.
Well, no, so it's part of this sort of weird Puritan liquor laws thing, where at least when I was living there, all nightclubs in Toronto were technically restaurants.
Yeah, they were trying to get you to go there.
Had to have tables and chairs that they would then push to the side. And this doesn't include like venues, right? Like a big venue for 1,000 people that's a concert venue. Because then a club night there is technically a concert.
Right.
But if you're like a club with a capacity of like 200 or something.
Is there an example of a British themed club you would like to tell us about?
No.
Okay, fair.
So all the nightclubs have to be like places they would go in Goodfellas with like cabaret seating.
Well, you can have dancing there eventually, but you do need to have several frozen dinners that if someone asks
for,
you give them.
What?
Yeah.
No
so
fucking way.
If you would go, I remember I used to go to this place called Wrong Bar a lot in like 2007-8. Mm. And it was a lot of fun.
The absolute peak of society.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Let's set the scene. What a feeling? What is it?
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
I think it's earlier than that. We're talking Infinity 2008 by the Guru Josh Project. Come with me, Infinity.
No,
yeah, I remember that.
So this was more like early Flostradamus.
You couldn't have dreamed of I Got a Feeling in 2008.
Yeah. That was you would have had your eardrums be shattered.
Yeah, yeah. You'd even 2 years ahead of the curve there.
No, this was I was going there to listen. Like Flostradamus came there, for example. That's who I like to go and listen to.
The guy who predicted dental floss.
Yes, absolutely right. That's what they're named after.
Yeah.
This was back when like everyone was listening to A-Track.
Right.
Things of this nature.
Oh, yeah. He was cool.
Yeah, he was. Canadian.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Canadian. He's from Montreal.
Canadian musical royalty. Alanis, A-Track.
Celine Bieber.
That's why he always sits down on stage.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he always sits down on stage.
Why?
A-Track. Because he's Canadian.
Yes, I forgot.
Yeah, it's the law.
Yeah. No, this wasn't the law in Quebec. Quebec was the Wild West. You could do whatever you want in Quebec.
Nah, you can stand up with a pint here, huh? Would you like some heroin with that?
Man, the Canadian Wild West is a lot less interesting than the American Wild West. It's just a lot of people standing up in bars.
Oh, yeah, it was... Well, no, crucially, not. You know, no, well, not to the RCMP come through and, you know, set everything to rights. Mm. No, none of that. You sit down.
Mm.
But yeah, so I feel like we sort of lent off the university in the mall. There is a university in that mall.
Yeah, I've not got off that. I'm still waiting for an explanation on that.
So, basically, you remember Toronto, right? There's this place, Toronto. We all love it. Yeah. The Chicago of Canada, many people are saying. within Toronto, there is a downtown core that's about the size of, I don't know, W1, and then it's all just basically suburbs.
Right. Okay.
With one little slice of it that everyone says this is like Toronto's Brooklyn, which is not true.
Right.
And that's Parkdale, which is where all the cool stuff happens that does happen in Toronto, as I recall.
Is that where Trendy Queen West is? No.
Correct. Yeah, that's Trendy Bell.
Hey, whoa, bud, I'm sitting here.
That's where you can go sit, stand, lean, any of the improv positions.
Mm.
Anything you want with a beer.
Yeah.
From a hat. So in the center of Toronto, there is a mall called the Eaton Center.
Okay.
Not named after the school, named after the family. The Eaton
named
family.
After the state of being.
Yeah, named after named
of having eaten. It's where you go after the restaurant club.
you go to the Eaton Center. Yeah. Within the Eaton Center is like a downtown mega mall. Mm. It's when your school, if you're a sort of a young sort of 12-year-old Riley, and your school is taking a little class trip to go see Wicked in Toronto for your hour and a half of free time. You will then be set into the Eaton Center, and you're going to go.
Is that the one that's like underground a lot?
Oh, that's a different thing entirely.
Okay, we need to talk about that because that's a separate situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is connected to that underground mall.
Okay.
But that underground mall is like the bad mall, but it also spreads across all of Toronto's downtown. There is an underground network of
when
like.
When you say Toronto's, when you say downtown, how literally are we talking about in Toronto? Is there a section of Toronto called downtown that is beneath the earth?
Yeah. You know, we're the more.
Welcome to the hot molten core of Toronto.
Wait, you guys, we don't. Oh yeah, I forgot. We don't have Morlocks in London. The Morlocks are a big part of life in Toronto. No, so basically, like, there's the mall under Bond Street, but that extends all of downtown Toronto. So it's like every single apartment, office building, and shopping center, whatever, in Toronto, including this university, is linked by like Claire's and phone shops and vape stores.
Okay, so when I was growing up in Russia, the only publication I used to read was called L Girl Russia. And then L Girl. And then I remember maybe I was 11 or 12, and this truly, I think about it at least once a week, was this like feature of like how girls your age live around the world. And I will never forget reading the Toronto piece because they're like, we shop underground. And I was just convinced that Toronto was like a bomb shelter. And I was like, cool.
Yeah. Because in Russia, they also have there's a massive underground shopping center in Moscow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens in cold countries. They just build shit underground. But I just was convinced that they were just like, oh, some teen girls are mole people.
Yeah, but we have L Girl and L Mole.
Olga, what are you doing? I'm sending box of daylight to poor children in Canada. They have never seen the sun.
They have small beady red eyes, you know. Anyway, so connected to this complex. So the Eaton Center is where you go if you're, you know, 12-year-old Riley who's like, I'm gonna look like an Abercrombie guy.
Yeah.
And so I go and, you know, pull an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt over my sort of pudgy little child body. And I'm like, the OC. this is how I'm going to be the OC.
Original cool guy.
Yeah, that's what it stands for, I assume.
That's right.
That's how
the OC was all about underground shopping.
Among other things. It was also about me, like, you know, it's me having a crush on someone who liked the OC. And being like, I'm going to get to learn everything about the OC so I can speak to this person about the OC intelligence. Ask me if that worked.
I don't need to. I know it did.
Yeah. What do you mean? We're married. Yeah. Anyway, so there's the mall, right? That has all that stuff in it.
Yeah.
It also has Ryerson University in
it. We've been on the run, driving in the sun, driving to Saskatchewan.
Yeah. It's a Canadian.
Sorry, of course. That entertained me more.
Yeah. Please.
No, I really appreciated the effort that went into that. I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, a regular Wayne Brady over here. You're the white. You're the white girl Wayne Brady, in my opinion. That's what everyone's gonna. That's what I'm gonna call you from now on.
Yeah, the Russian Brian Adams. It's like the Celine Dion of a hot new dad.
Yeah. So there is a university called Ryerson University.
Right.
It's built in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was built the at the university. Same time as the mall.
Right.
And they
were like, so why not two great tastes that taste great together? Yeah. The university and the mall.
So there's a little sign that says, and again, this may have changed. I haven't been to Canada really in 10 years. There's a little sign that says, this way to Best Buy, this way to the university.
Which way, Western man? Which way, Western man?
It's like that meme of the girl who like finds a book and becomes like, has smaller boobs. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. The reverse bimbo. I know it well. You know, you could go into Best Buy and get a great deal on a 32-inch 4K TV. Or, I mean, that's for the office, of course, right? As a TV or a monitor, you want a bigger TV for the main room. But in Best Buy, we'll have the deal for you on that. And if you act now, you can get a 3-year degree with that at no extra cost.
Yeah. Where they sting you on the degree though is on the extended warranty. Don't get that.
Well, it's actually, if you want to upgrade it to a 4-year degree, then actually you end up paying more or less the entire thing. No one reads the fine print on these things.
Yeah,
you know, it's and also it's like, oh, what degree did I get? It's like media studies.
It's always the way. And then you go work at the best.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a perfect economic system.
Just lure it
in the Best Buy.
Yeah.
Why I'm interested in co-locating the mall and the university is it the idea primarily to sell the mall as a convenience to the students or to sell the university as a convenience to people attending the mall? that's really what I want to know.
I just can't understand the scale of this mall. Like, it sounds like this mall is sort of the size of Croydon.
Well, that's the thing.
That's actually how they advertised it initially when it was built. It's like a subterranean Croydon. Making it slightly less gloomy than Croydon.
Yes, Canadians come from far and wide to go and hang out in subterranean Canada. So there's a couple things about Canada.
Okay.
We have really fucked up malls. We have one mall that has like a discount roller coaster in it that killed a guy. Yeah.
It's the Dignitas roller coaster.
Yeah. We have the West Edmonton Mall, which was until recently the world's biggest mall in Edmonton, Canada's fifth biggest city.
Awesome.
Why do you know this?
In the world's biggest mall, it has like a theme park, but the theme park was built like really jankily. And it has like a pirate ship. There's various dinner theaters.
Okay.
And it's sort of like...
which are actually pharmacies.
Yeah. But yeah, just another crazy Canadian rule.
Yeah, legally you have to offer everyone a codeine on their way
in.
Well,
I guess technically I have stayed in a hotel that's in a mall in Montreal. I think you could potentially consider there is an entrance to this hotel in the shopping mall. So I guess if I can widen my understanding of that. I think in my head, the entire university is like in the middle of the mall, like a fountain or something.
Oh, you're saying like there is like a stentorian old quad building?
That's the problem.
A statue of a war
iron
criminal.
Railings that the shoppers are peering through onto like a manicured lawn. People lounging and reading books.
Like you're basically imagining Brideshead Revisited, but taking place Westfield.
I understand. Now I understand this was a failure of my imagination.
Yeah, the dreaming spires of Sears.
Yeah.
The thing is, downtown Toronto built entirely on a mall because there's this thing called the PATH Network that was built sort of again this a strange idea in the 1960s that what they wanted to do was try to like because basically like the 1960s to the 1990s that was the golden age of the mall. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
That was everyone loved malls. They get enough of them.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they were like, "What if we made the whole city out of mall?" And so now you can walk from like the top of downtown Toronto to all the way to the bottom of downtown Toronto and never leave the mall. You can be in the mall the whole time. Dreaming Spire's here. Claire's there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm now imagining like a version of Britain where Oxford and Cambridge don't exist, but instead they are like located within Lakeside and Bluewater, the two premier shopping centers of London in the 90s. And there's like a portmanteau like Lake Water, and people refer to the Lake Water Mafia, and they stare at each other from across the Thames estuary, like slightly different. Like at Lakeside, they call it an escalator, but at Bluewater, they call it a travelator, and it's like a whole thing. Yeah, so, well, I'd sort of finished my bit about the, I don't know what else could conclude in the road. I mean, there would be a boat race because they're on either side of the Thames, so it would be so easy.
Well, no, it would be a supermarket sweep, I think. the Bluewater Lakeside supermarket sweep, you know. And it's like, well, and yeah, so you there are a lot of courses that it's like, oh yeah, this isn't really, it's like water management or land economy. It's like, no, this is just for people doing supermarket sweep.
Yeah. Huge American guys brought in as ringers.
Yeah.
So they can just body check the other team out of the way to get the PS5s or whatever.
I honestly think if the Oxford and Cambridge boat race was replaced with an Oxford versus Cambridge supermarket sweep, it would finally be the thing that made me take an interest. Like, I just think if Ryland presented the boat race, I would feel more connected to it.
It's the Ryman the stationer boat race, and everyone gets like a sort of like a card for your mom with a sex pun on it instead of the jerseys.
Yeah, that's
great.
Yeah, that would be cool. And of course, there would be a third university that sort of is like loosely associated with the other two, that's based in like the Trafford Centre in Manchester or something.
There was that one guy that protested the supermarket sweep one year by standing in front of the electronics section, and then he was almost hit with a cart. Well, it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous. Oh, remember that Australian guy?
I feel like more things about Oxford and Cambridge should be replaced with stuff that's just malls. I think that would be a lot. I think that would be, it would really improve this country if people stopped getting to like pretend that they were a sort of
so the next PM will be plucked out of GameStop instead of Oxford.
He'll know how to manage the economy.
Come on.
No, I think this country would be a much better place if the people who were sort of, you know, being groomed for all those positions of power didn't get to spend 3 years imagining that they were like a louche 19th century aristocrat.
Yeah, well, 45 out of our last 50 prime ministers all attended Foot Locker.
And I mean, there's a lot of it wouldn't really change because a lot of it is just like putting
some attended shoe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But that's more of an artsy place. Yeah. You know? It's kind of, you see more media people.
Well, everyone at the BBC all did a stint at Office.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The Office comedy troupe, also called the Footlights. Hot. And also, I mean, a lot of it would still sort of slot neatly into place, I think, in as much as. A lot of people at Oxford and Cambridge do also spend a lot of time, like, you know, downing a WKD and sort of, you know, beating themselves on a sign. Much more than a lot of other people. The thing where people pour port on themselves, I always think is like a bit of a, it sort of misses what's actually going on, which is just a lot of people just getting hammered. But you do have a little bit where you get to pretend that you're a 19th century louche nobleman. And I really do think that that would be mended by putting it in a mall. You couldn't sort of try to
having
picture
a black tie dinner in the food court.
Yeah, well, yeah,
that'd be cool.
You couldn't picture yourself as like an Evelyn Waugh character if you were sort of, you know, concluding your studies like near the information kiosk, having a chicken cottage or whatever.
I actually want to do that. I want to go and have a black tie dinner in like the Lakeside subway.
Okay, well, who's stopping you?
No one, I guess.
Yeah, this is the fat face where Tolkien.
He actually came up with a lot of the names for the parts of Middle Earth in this fat face.
Sam and Frodo then trekked towards shirt. Yeah, what does fat face sell?
Surf adjacent clothing.
Isn't it like a sort of updated Mambo?
Yeah, it's a little bit like Abercrombie. It's not a million miles away, but it's like a bit down market.
Oh, it's
would
not
you have
Mambo.
Been like the sort of like the hot puka shell necklace guy? Were there hot puka shell necklace guys in Britain?
Yeah, sure, for sure.
Was that like a type?
There was, you know what there was more of? There was more like leather and rope wristband surfer
yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like a lot
that's
of that.
It.
Beads.
Yeah, leather, a lot of beads. A lot of beads.
Like, what? What's
Nish,
like...
did you dabble? Am I hearing
no,
in
I
your voice that you dabbled?
I did not dabble in beads, but I just had a, like, like what I imagine, as someone who has not partaken in LSD, I had what I imagine is the equivalent of an acid flashback. Of a guy in, like, with a bead necklace trying to engage me in a conversation about the band The Offspring.
He's rector of Lakeside University now.
I remember once being at a pub with a friend of mine, and we spotted like a friend of his sat over the other side of the pub, and she was sat with this huge ripped guy who was like bursting out of a polo shirt and was wearing like a number of like bead necklaces and leather wristbands and stuff, and had like kind of like scruffy shoulder length hair. And my friend goes to me, "I've never seen a more Australian looking man in my life." and he goes over to say hi to his friend, and I don't go with him. I go to the bar instead, and I come back and I'm like, "Was he Australian?" And he was like, "Not only was he Australian," he goes, "I went and said hi," and I turn to him and go, "Hi, my name's Alex," and he goes, "Hi, Alex, I'm Brent. So, where are you from and where's your ship hidden?"
Great. That's a visiting scholar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's come from a Hollister, and he's doing a semester at Fat Face.
But wait, so what was the prototypical mid-2000s hot guy doing in Britain? Because in America and Canada, like, the prototypical mid-2000s hot guy, correct me if I'm wrong, Olga, was a
I went to an American school in Staines. Whatever was cool there was not cool literally anywhere else.
Fair enough.
I can promise you that.
I'm thinking basically like a little bit of bleached hair, and then a puka shell necklace, and then one or two pop polos.
Yeah,
I did
briefly have frosted tips at one point.
Yeah, of course you did.
Excuse
in
me.
In the early 2000s, yeah. I think I was about 11.
Nish, of course, tips? I didn't have frosted. I don't have tips. There's nothing to tip. The whole thing is one big curl. There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing to tip on here.
If you tried to do a frosted tips, you'd end up looking like a conehead.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think frosted tips would be not a great look for me. I mean, this is possibly not the most universal reference I could make, but there was a Portuguese footballer called Abel Xavier that he rocked the curly hair and beard, and he did dye it blonde, and he looked truly incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have very curly hair. I just believed in myself enough at age 12 that I was like, I'm going to go with frosted tips anyway.
Like that Portuguese footballer.
Yeah, and I mean, I was far from the only kid in my year at school who had frosted tips. Uh-huh.
Like, were you a sullen teen who had like... Because when I was a teen, I tried to have like baggy jeans. Because I wanted to have like baggy jeans and skate shoes and like a long sleeve shirt under a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
But my parents thought it looked stupid. And so I had to like negotiate as much of that look as I could manage.
You're wearing like baggy ripped jeans but with a shirt and tie as a compromise.
Yeah, I was wearing black tie to school, of course. Yeah. So I sort of had.
You're
just...
never gonna get into Quiznos dressed like that.
The school didn't send many to Quiznos that year.
Yeah. No.
Changing every A on your paper into the anarchy sign.
Yeah. Oh boy, did I like to draw that A. Didn't know what it meant. No fucking idea. I thought it meant that like you thought school was lame.
I thought it was, and in a way, yeah, that is what it means. It
was like, I was like, anarchy, atheist, who cares? That's me.
Mm.
13
I'm
years old,
a
lot of
cool
ideas.
Cool guy.
That's the cool S and the cool A.
the cool S, the cool A.
The cool
OC.
S was absolutely enormous. The cool S was, I mean, that was huge. I'm slightly older than you guys. And let me tell you, the cool S, pre 9/11 suburbs of London, the cool S really was, that was where it was at. And then everything changed.
Yeah, actually, on the stained sign at that time, it was spelt with the cool S.
Yeah, both. Yeah. Both, actually. Yeah.
Both S's. a tiny tane in the middle of two massive S's.
I mean,
you know what was cool in my middle school?
What, yeah. The TSA, but the Super X after 9/11.
The finger skateboards.
Oh, the tech decks.
Is that what they were called?
That was an early mid-90s.
I had a tech deck half pipe.
Oh my god, that's so late.
That was when I was like 8. I don't know. Uh-huh. I was quite young. Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember having to. It involved a lot of assembly. Mm-hmm. Because they gave you like the half pipe sides, and then you had to, like, it was made of wooden slats that you had to glue on.
Oh, Splinter City.
And so it was quite difficult to get it into like a good curve because you're gluing what are straight pieces of wood onto a curved thing. And it's me and my dad doing it. My dad was not really a DIY guy, so I had like a kind of a lumpy half pipe. Finger skateboards.
Yeah.
I just imagine like putting my dad through this, like a guy who just wanted to like watch the football or whatever, and he was just sat there like attempting to fucking glue straight slats onto a curved surface for the purposes of a micro skateboard half pipe.
So his stupid son with the frosted tips could have fun with his finger skateboard.
Yeah, he's like, he better get into fucking Hollister one of these days.
God, he better not have some kind of pointless, stupid job. He better get into accountancy or something.
Yeah, that's right.
when he goes to the mall for his degree, he'd better go buy something good.
Yeah.
I hope we don't waste him on just some kind of, I don't know, comedy career.
No, absolutely not.
No. Well, they kind of go to the actual university for you. You can't just get that from the mall.
No. Exactly. Yeah. You got to go to a proper university.
So it's with us. I mean, I think it's. I think my most formative memory of the time, of the early 2000s, the cultural wonderland that was the early 2000s, was just that everyone in sort of my bit of suburban Canada, so like...
Suburban Canada just sort of implies that there's like one metropole in Canada.
Yeah, suburban else. Canada means the far edges of the mall.
Yeah, but where it starts to be like kind of technically another much worse mall that shares a wall with that mall.
You start getting an in between the, like, you know, like the Foot Lockers and the Claire's Accessories. There are like little houses with picket fences.
Yeah, it's mostly just our mall.
Yeah. I live next door to a branch of HMV.
The TK Maxx is a bad part of town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm bringing my girlfriend home, but she's actually from the vape store part of the mall, and I'm bringing her to the food court with my family, who are from the Selfridges outlet part of the mall.
It's a complex aspirational demographic. The Selfridges outlet.
Well, we want to settle down and get a place of our own. That's actually near where there used to be a bunch of phone stores and then a Ryman's. And it's actually quite up and coming because there is a...
Because there's an As Seen on TV kiosk.
Yeah. Well, it's the As Seen on TV kiosk. It was originally for kitsch value. Now people just realize there's a lot of really wonderful handcrafted, like a Bowflex you could get like Chris Benoit had.
Yeah.
And they've got like a healing crystal store there. It's a good part of town.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like number one, like... To have the vitamin injection place like a walk from where you are, so you don't have to like get on the elevator or whatever.
Yeah, when you're hungover, you don't want to have to get on the elevator.
You could just go there and get a. Why are those everywhere? What happened with that?
Vitamin injections.
I went to Westfield and it was like, hey, do you want to like get like a colostomy bag or what? A colostomy bag.
Colostomy. Do you want to? Are you tired of shitting?
Someone just came up to you and said, do you want to get a colostomy bag?
That sounds like they're threatening you.
Yeah.
Like, you better give us your phone or else.
Yeah. Give me your phone, your wallet, and your intestines.
These kiosk guys are getting really high pressure tactics.
No, God.
An IV drip. Bates on a why is it in colostomy?
You're going to beat you so
IV
bad, you're
going
to wish you had Crohn's disease.
IV drips are like meant to cure your hangover, right?
That's right. People have IV. It sounds when someone the first time you become aware that people do that, you're like, things have gone too far. Like, I just have some water and a black coffee. You're just dehydrated. Well, there's no reason for anything to be injected into your body.
A friend of mine who's a doctor was saying that you know how bizarrely in the medical profession, they're one of the most like hard drinking, like, I don't know. Everyone I know who is a medic was like,
at it like all the time, despite having to be up extremely early to go and do shifts in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah, of course. Like, so doctors are like, doctors are like parents, like new parents. Yeah. Like, these are people that need some sort of chemical to help them cope with what they're going through on a day-to-day basis.
And so apparently it's a whole thing with like A&E doctors and doctors in general that like people, like quite often doctors would show up like really hungover for work. And then like they would get one of their colleagues to just like put them on a drip for half an hour.
It's how George Clooney's character is introduced in the ER pilot.
Is this true?
I'm sorry to really show the exact number of years I'm older than all of you. But that is how Dr. Doug Ross
Batman used to be on a show.
Batman used to be on a show. I love the idea that you only Amal married Batman. Oh.
Oh my. Well, I mean, what does he get all that time? I mean, planning a wedding, the beatings. But I looking at the time looking at all of our busy schedules, I have to go get that coffee, Chris.
Yeah, it's time for the studio to turn into a restaurant for legal reasons.
I've got an IV drip scheduled next to the Hollister with a good view.
And I'm wanking off a dog.
It all comes back around, baby. It does. That's the call. That's the art of podcasting. It's the art of comedy right there. You bring it back.
Yeah.
All of this was just a big setup, a turn, a misdirect, a tag, leading to the Prestige, where Nish wanks off his dog.
That's right. And if you want to see that, tune into Balthazar Speedboat next week.
Yeah, that's right. From our family... from Olga, Milo, Nish, Riley,
and that dog with the huge penis.
That dog with the human penis.
Yeah.
We'll see you later.
Bye.